Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hi, welcome to the NASCAR NBC podcast. Nate Ryan here with Kyle Petty at the NBC Sports Charlotte studios for another post-race edition of the podcast. We'll be doing NASCAR America Motor Mouths, but before that, I want to get your take on Darlington, Kyle. Martin Truex Jr., the winner.
Yes.
Only driver with multiple victories in the 2021 season now. Three victories at tracks that will play host to the playoff opener. That's Darlington. Yeah. The round of eight finale. That's Martinsville. And the championship race. Phoenix. He's won at all three of those places. So I know we're 12 races in. We're a third of the way in the season. So it's not too early to make over-exuberant predictions.
Never too early.
Is Martin Truex Jr. at this point the unquestioned championship favorite? I mean, it feels like
he is. And honestly, I've not seen anybody rise to that challenge yet on a consistent basis. On a consistent basis. How many years we went through, it's the big two, you know, this battle of the Titans, they're coming out.
Right.
And then a couple of years ago, it became the big three, you know, and now it's the big Lebowski. I mean, it's the one guy, you know what I mean? It is the one guy. He's the only guy in the first 12 races that has raised his hand and said, hey, I'm the guy, come get me. So, I mean, I think he's unquestionably the guy that everybody is shooting at right now.
Who's it? Jeff Bridges, soon to be starring in the remake of the Martin Truex Jr. story.
Yes, that's it. That's
the big Lebowski. I love it. So this was Martin Truex Jr.'s 30th career victory in Cup, Kyle. And we were talking about this before. I mean, many of these have just been dominant victories. Coca-Cola 600 in 2016. He leads 393 of 400 laps. Kentucky in 2017. Martinsville 2019 leads 464 of 500 laps. And now this race on Sunday at Darlington, again, dominant leads of 293 laps. He led 248 of them. And I heard you say before we started here that you don't know if you've ever seen a place like Darlington. It's been around since 1950.
Yes.
You can't recall seeing maybe a performance that dominant.
No, I don't remember seeing a performance with one car that dominant.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wasn't there when Ned Jarrett won by 14 laps, but in this day and time, and in my memory, of going there and watching, you know, my dad going there and watching Earnhardt going there and watching Mark Martin and Jeff Gordon and guys like, I've seen big wins, you know, $1 million Bill. I've seen some big wins at Darlington.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't believe I've ever seen anybody just take control of the race and control the race. Control what everybody did, control how they pitted, control. I mean, he is like watching college basketball, make the other team play your game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he made everybody else play his game because he was so freaking fast.
Yeah.
And it just never seemed to go away. So that was an impressive, I think second probably to Charlotte when he won Charlotte for me. That was one of Martin's biggest races, I think.
What do we make of that history, Kami? Is that, it can't be coincidence.
No.
That when he has a car that's this good, he just always, like you said, he makes them play his game and he runs away with it.
You know, when his car is right, I don't believe there's a better race car driver out there than Martin Truex. Because he understands, today it's right, I'm not going to make a mistake, I maximize this opportunity, and he maximizes his opportunities. We've seen other guys who have had dominant cars who speed on pit road or do something that just takes themselves out, and you think, man, that guy led 300 laps of a 302 lap race, but he was an idiot on pit road one time and had to start. So it's one of those things. But and I've said it, you know, I'm not sure how good a race car driver Martin Truex is because I've never seen him race. Mm-hmm. I just see him outrun people. And when he does have to race people, a lot of times he comes up on the short end of the stick, you know, with Logano, with other guys who have just intimidated and beat him at different times. That doesn't mean he's not a great race car driver, but it's different to go door to door. It's different to go bumper to bumper. It's different to go nose to tail than it is to go, hey, I see you out there in front of my windshield and I'm getting ready to lap second place guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the way Martin drives because he's that good when he knows what he has. He's that good at maximizing it.
But he has a reputation for being such a clean racer.
Yeah.
And, you know, to your point, there was Martinsville with Joey. There was Homestead with Joey. There was Daytona a few years ago where Eric Jones got his
first win. Yeah.
On one hand, you can take it as a compliment and say, hey, it's great that you race clean. You don't ruffle feathers. You don't knock guys out of the way. You race by a code.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, in stock car racing that's built on knocking a guy out of the way to get a win is a big part of it. He doesn't really have that in his skill set. Or we haven't seen
him use it. Here's what I think. I think he has it in his skill set. I don't think he has it in his moral code. I think he has it. He can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no doubt that he can do magical things with a race car. There is no doubt. What he doesn't have is Joey, Earnhardt Sr., Tony Stewart. They smelled blood in the water. They may have a fifth place car, but there was blood in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They were going to be a threat from fifth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Martin's not a threat from fifth.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just how I feel about it. And this is one man's opinion, but that's how I feel about it. But, you know, I think there's so many times, and you bring up Daytona, had the only car that didn't have a scratch on it, and he gets beat by a car that's got a bare bond over half the car. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, how did that happen? I mean, I'm still trying. That's one of those races you're still trying to put together. And I said it at Martinsville with he and Joey. He said he won't win the championship, all this stuff. And listen, it was an eloquent speech. That was never going to be backed up because he doesn't have it in his moral code. He's such a good guy, such a nice person, okay? I don't believe if he ever did anything to Joey Logano, he wouldn't shave for at least 2 years because he couldn't look himself in the mirror. you know what I mean? He's that kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
God, man, I like nice guys that win races, you know what I mean? But It's a moral thing more so than a skill set.
And, you know, he's not flashy, and that probably goes along with not being necessarily aggressive. But maybe that's part of the reason I think he gets overlooked a little bit. He's not a chest thumper. Maybe it diminishes the attention on him or how much we talk about him. But I don't want to discount the fact that when he's got the right car, like he wins these races, and obviously he has some sort of quality that whether it's Cole Pearn or now James Small, he has an ability to communicate with his crew chief. I guess what I'm getting at is like maybe there are some detractors who look at it and want to criticize, you know, he's not always the most aggressive guy on track. But in the lead up to the race, you know, take out what he does during the race, the lead up to the race, he's obviously got a sense of what he wants in a race car and can get, whether it's Cole Pearn or James Small, whoever the crew chief is, he can get them to get that exactly right, as you said, in that car.
I think that's his biggest asset. He must be an incredible communicator, and he must have a massive amount of confidence in the feel he wants in the car. And he can convey that to you, the crew chief. He can convey that to you, the engineer. I don't believe Kyle Busch has that. I don't believe Kyle Busch has that quality. Kyle Busch knows what he wants, but he needs practice to go point you and keep moving you in the right direction. I truly believe that. Martin Truex can talk you through it on an intellectual basis and help you to understand, let's try this, let's do that, I think this is where we need to be. And so I think it's just a different, and my dad used to say this about Jimmy Johnson and about Kyle Busch. He's like, everybody oohs and ahs when they see Kyle Busch sideways and backwards.
Yeah.
Jimmy's a better driver because he never gets sideways and backwards. You know what I mean? He knows what he's looking for. He has the car set right, and he goes about his business, and not in a flashy way, not sideways and backwards. He just laps you just running in a straight line, and that's kind of what Truex does.
The example of nice guys being able to finish first.
Yeah.
He is just one of the most well-respected guy in the Cup Series. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't like racing Martin Truex Jr., doesn't like him as a person. And I thought it was really cool that he had this Furniture Row throwback, which, of course, that was the 2017 championship season that made him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Yeah, but like it reminded me a little bit, Kyle. When I think of Truex, I think of Furniture Row, but I immediately think of Cole Pearn. Mm-hmm. And like we made, I'm complicit in this as part of the media. I feel like we made a big deal about Cole Pearn and Furniture Row and Barney Visser's operation out in Denver. Do we sometimes overlook the driver part of that equation? Did Truex maybe? Was he a bigger part of that than we realized? Or is it, it was again, like a whole big being greater than the sum of its parts type situation?
That's a really good question. That really is, because we used to talk about this with other people.
Yeah.
We'd talk about Chad and Jimmy.
Yeah, right.
Nobody ever mentioned Chad without mentioning Jimmy. Nobody ever mentioned Jimmy without Chad. And is Jimmy better with Chad, better without Chad? How did it work? We don't know. And we will never know, because they were in different places in their career at the end. Cole went away, so we don't know what Cole could have done with another driver. We do know what Truex has done with another crew chief and another team. So that, in my mind, means that Truex was a huge part of that equation, a huge part of that equation. It wasn't just Barney Visser. It wasn't just Cole Pearn. But I think those three together and the attitude that Barney brought to the table, win at all costs, the attitude that Cole brought to the table, made up a little bit of that niceness that Truex had, yeah. And he just went out and got it done. He just did whatever they said and got it done. But you had to have Truex. If they had had a driver who had that same attitude, I'm not sure they would have been as successful.
Right.
Because that would have been another strong personality at the table. And you already had a couple of strong personalities. So I think Truex has... what he's done with Joe Gibbs Racing, the nod to the Furniture Row, the nod to where he came from with Barney Visser and that championship season, I thought that was a cool nod. It wasn't a blatant in your face, it was just a nod that way. But I think he has proven to a lot of people that he was an important part of that equation. Yeah. It wasn't just all those guys.
And that nod is kind of like what you were talking about, that deferential side of Truex.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be the center of attention. He's more than happy to deflect to Cole Pearn or Barney Visser or the glory days or whoever. Yeah, it's interesting.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The one moment in which maybe his victory seemed in doubt came with just under 30 laps to go. Kyle Larson got up on the back bumper of the number 19 Toyota of Martin Truex Jr. Larson probably didn't have the better car, Kyle, but he did have, I think, a minor regret about how he attacked it.
And I could see that I was really close and noticed that I was gaining on him. I definitely had to tell myself to just calm myself, which I was. The whole last stage, I felt like I did a good job for where I was at and who I was battling with to take care of my stuff. But yeah, when the leader's in front of you, it is tougher to remind yourself. But in a way, I maybe was too patient at one point. You know, I got to this back bumper in 1 and 2, and I could see he was struggling in front of me. And, you know, I thought, well, if I'm just patient here and stay behind him and put some pressure on him, maybe he'll use his stuff up or get into the wall in 3 and 4, because he was running so close to it. So I was just hoping that he would make a mistake. But looking back, if there was something I could do different, I would have taken advantage of that opportunity and try to get to his inside and maybe clear him off a two and then kind of block him and my dirty air the rest of the race. The only thing I think I could have done differently was, you know, get that big run on him in one and two. And when I got to his bumper, I could have just probably throttled up through the center and maybe cleared him, or at least got my right rear to his left front and made him lift off of two. But like I said, I could see he was struggling. I wanted to be patient and figure I'd have another opportunity, but I never really did.
Kyle Larson obviously feels as if, you know, maybe he didn't force the issue enough. You've raced Darlington. You know, what's that like at a track where it's all about conservation of equipment and tire management, of knowing like how to judge that over the course of a long green flag run, yeah, which they had many of yesterday? I mean, how difficult is that to be in Kyle Larson's position like that?
You just have to know your car. Okay. And what I mean by that is that's a very simplistic answer. But how many times have we seen guys at not only Darlington, but at other racetracks who take off and run like Jack the Bear for 20 laps and then you don't see them, yeah, the rest of the run? Where was Kyle in that cycle? Where was Kyle with his tires? And you know, if he had known, we're back to, I guess I look at it just the conversation we were having a minute ago. Do you think Tony Stewart would have been patient if he caught him? No.
Right.
Do you think Earnhardt Sr. would have been? No.
Right.
Do you know, there's a lot of guys out there that just wouldn't have been patient. And I say this in the kindest way that I can, but it's how I feel. If that was Kyle Busch that had run down Truex, then you can sell me on some smoke and some hype. Okay. It was Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson wasn't going to pass him.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's not Kyle's nature. Hmm. You know what I mean? Kyle's just not. He does it in sprint cars in a 50-lap feature. He does it in a 25-lap feature. Why don't you do it in the 393 laps, whatever it is,
yeah,
feature?
Yeah.
You know, I've just not seen him do that. I've just not. He's given away a lot of races, I feel like, late in a race. So I just didn't think when he didn't pass him when he caught him, it was over with. He could run back to him, but Truex is a good enough driver and a smart enough driver. He's not going to make a mistake within 10. You get him, yeah, you get him in 10, he's not. He's going to block, he's going to do something. And Truex worked traffic very well yesterday. I thought he did a good job working traffic. But I think the regret sometimes for Kyle is just drive here. Drive, yeah, from your gut, man.
Don't overthink it.
Just, yeah, drive from your gut, because, huh, we've seen you drive with your gut. We watch you when you were World of Outlaws with the stuff. Man, you are up on the wheel, elbows up, digging all the time. But in the cup stuff, he overthinks it sometimes, it seems like, and then takes himself out.
And you think maybe it's that mentality of like he's used to running the 30-lap,
yeah,
features on dirt, and now he's got a 3-hour,
yeah,
or 3-hour and 15-minute race like this over almost 300 laps. Like, it's hard to kind of recalibrate.
That was a knock, and I will say this. That was a knock that I believe was justifiable to him early in his career.
Yeah.
And to Casey Kane. I don't think Casey Kane ever got past that.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did Casey Kane lead the first half of a race and then we didn't know where he was at the second half of the race? But if you could get Casey to the end of the race, he was going to be tough to beat. I think Kyle has done a tremendous job, especially coming back this year, of being a better cup driver now than he was when he was here before. I think he understands cup racing a lot better. And I think he's got a few more things to learn as you watch it, but driving's not one of the things he has to learn.
Yeah.
He has to just learn to drive off of what he feels and not think about everything.
It's racecraft as,
yes,
opposed to just
great way
driving
to put it.
Fast.
Yes.
Yeah. So something else that Larson said afterward, KP, that caught my eye, he was willing, and this is unusual because again, we're talking about Kyle Larson, he was willing to lay claim to being a serious championship contender in no uncertain terms.
I think we're top three. We're one of the top three teams out there. So I'm happy with that. We've been really good to start the year and meshing very well as a team. So really enjoy working with Cliff and everybody on the five car. And I think we're just going to continue to grow. Our pit crew's been doing an awesome job. Everybody at the shop's been doing great. I mean, you look at all four of our teammates, with myself included, and we've been really good. So happy about it. Looking forward to building from where we're at.
So Kyle Larson feels like he's one of the top three. I think we already established Martin Truex Jr. is number one.
Yes.
I would think Denny Hamlin, if you were looking at the top,
yeah,
three, would probably be the third guy. He's got the most points. Is,
yes.
Do you think Kyle Larson
at this
makes
time
a solid case to be the top three? Or?
Okay, and let me preface this and say, at this point in the
right
season.
12,
okay,
12,
yeah,
out of 36 12, races.
Yeah, 12 out of 36 races, a third of the way through the season.
Yep.
Then, I would agree that he was probably, he's one of the guys you're going to have to race. If we were going into the championship right now, he's one of those guys. And you know, I probably would throw William Byron in there. Yeah. Just off the streak that he is on, which is just phenomenal to me. And he started it and he got to, what, 7 or 8 incredibly quietly. Nobody even brought it up. And I think Denny, you know, Denny's one of those guys. And I'm not sure who else. I'm not sure. Those guys seem to be pretty consistent. You know, and we're going to put you in the championship at this point in time, not off wins. We're just going to put you in because of consistency. Then, yeah, I can believe that. And I think the Hendrick guys have done a really good job. Chase has been missing in this group. Even though these guys have won races, I think Chase has been pretty consistent. So I have to add him in. But, yeah, they're pretty good.
And, again, as I said, Denny Hamlin first in points, 529. Martin Truex Jr. second at 454. Actually, Joey Logano and Blaney, the Penske cars, are up there, 4.645. But to your point, I know he's one of your favorites. Lord Byron currently ranks third in the Cup Series point standings and at playoff tracks that have been run this year so far. So this is not excluding Bristol Dirt, but Phoenix, Martinsville, and Darlington. Dustin Long put together a story on NBCSports.com today in which he explained, you know, which drivers had the most points scored at the playoff tracks that have been run this year that will appear again later in the season to determine the championship. Hamlin number one, Truex number two, Lord Byron again number three. And you mentioned it. I mean, this is a guy really coming into his own here in his fourth season. 10 straight top 10 finishes, longest streak by a Hendrick Motorsports driver since Jeff Gordon in 2007, and the youngest driver ever with a 10-race top 10 streak with his best finish at Darlington. Byron comes home fourth. So it feels like he's, like you said, he's kind of like creeping along and he's right there.
So I have this crazy theory that if you put yourself in position to have a look at a win, to look at wins, eventually you're going to win some. Okay? They're putting themselves in position to look. You know what I mean? They're not winning a lot, but they're looking at him. Denny's looking at him. Mm-hmm. Denny has looked at a lot of wins this year, and he's looked at him go away, but he's looked at a lot of wins. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, but if I talk about Joey, Joey's not looked at a lot of wins. Not 12 in a row. You know what I mean? And when you start looking at it like that, then you have to say, who has had an opportunity to win races? And the five car of Kyle Larson is right there. He's had a lot of looks. When I look at William, this crazy story, but Rick and I talked. I called Rick when he moved him up to Cup because I thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened, moving him. Because I grew up in a family who believed if you stayed in one place too long, and that's not ultimately where you wanted to be, it was a bad thing for you. It was a bad place to learn bad habits, whether it be the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series. Ultimately, Rick wanted Lord Byron to be a Cup driver, okay?
Yeah.
So just move him up. You got an opportunity. You're willing to make that commitment. You're the owner. Move him up. And I think it's beginning to pay off. I think now we're seeing that, you know, his freshman year and his sophomore year and his junior year is paying off in his senior year. I think that, and I've said it sitting down with those guys before, I think that kid thinks about things. I think he thinks about the car. I think he thinks about the future of where this team needs to be. And listen, Jeff Gordon took that team and built it into what it was on his back a lot of ways. He and Rick, but Jeff Gordon pointing them in the right direction, telling them what to do. Jeff's there now, helping, still helping. But I think William is that kid that can be the next Jeff in that way, who, to drive that bus, we need this for downforce, we need this, because he thinks about things. He doesn't just get in and drive. And I think he has the potential to be a strong, strong leader there for a long time, and I think that's why this doesn't surprise me.
And as I mentioned, he's doing things that have not been done since Jeff Gordon, that longest streak by a Hendrick Motorsports driver, top 10 finishes since Gordon in 2007. I should mention, clarify, that Byron did win at Homestead, so he does have a victory this year. It's interesting to me, Kyle, the makeup of the Hendrick driver lineup right now. I was talking to Steve Wittard about this a couple weeks ago on the podcast. You've got William Byron, you've got Chase Elliott, you got Alex Bowman, you got Kyle Larson, four guys in their 20s, and none of them feels like an alpha at all. Does that surprise you? That it seems like Hendrick is as successful as it's been in years, and it's happening without kind of a dean among the driver group. It's almost like Chad Knaus.
But they don't need it. They
is the dean.
Yeah, Chad Knaus is, and that's what I was under this model that we're racing under right now. No practice, no qualifying, just get in and drive the car and shut up. Then yes, that the drivers are not. It's all there in black and white on that little box you've got right there. You know what I mean? It comes back on Monday morning. It's yeah. real time to the pit box. So Chad, I think Chad stepping into that role. And listen, I still think Jeff is an important part of that. Jeff Gordon's still an important part of that. But I think Chad stepping into a broader role has helped everybody. And they don't need an alpha right now. Will they need an alpha as they go to next year's car? Okay, I don't know. Because there are so many areas to go off in for next year's car. So many new parts and pieces, so many new ways to do things possibly. We talked about it on Motor Mouse last week. But so eventually there has to be one, okay? I don't believe you can run a race team by committee. And somebody has to steer the bus. Somebody has to be the guy that's pointing you and sending you in the right direction. Will that be interesting when it happens? Yeah. And that's the day Hendrick will probably put four cars in the final four. And, you know, because somebody's vying for that position. You know yeah. what I mean? Honestly, because the talent pool there is so deep. But it will be somebody's going to have to raise their hand and say, follow me.
So you mentioned the new car could be the impetus for that next year. The new car also will have an impact on Darlington. We're not sure what that package is going to look like next year, but this year they brought out the low downforce package. Mm-hmm. There were some fans who weren't very happy about high downforce, low horsepower over the last couple of seasons at Darlington. This is a track that, of course, has huge tire abrasion, slipping and sliding. And I think we saw a lot of that, KP, on Sunday. Truex was very happy about it. Of course he is. He won the race, yeah. but he's also a big fan of this kind of racing, he said afterward.
I love low downforce. That's all I'm going to say. I love it. You know, especially this year, all three races we won been with this package. So obviously, you know, guys and girls at JGR doing a great job. But I just, you know, for me, you look at 16, 17, and 18 low downforce. I mean, you know, we very well could have won all three championships. You know, we were right there in all three and won a lot of races. So big fan of this kind of racing, really enjoy it. You know, today was a heck of a challenge. I did come on the radio one time and say, I'm really surprised at just how slow it feels and how slick it is. I mean, I was leading and driving away from the field, and I'm like, this thing is sliding everywhere.
What surprised me, Kyle, despite all of that, despite Truex's thoughts on the low downforce, was that there weren't very many yellows.
Yeah.
I mean, guys talked all race about how hard it was to drive yeah. before and after, but yet I think there were four incidents, not a lot of spins.
Yeah.
What did you make of that? Because I would have expected this to be more of a caution fest.
And I didn't. And I tell you why. The time that I drove a race car and in the time that I worked on my dad's race car, I can't tell you how many times we would go to a race. Wilkesboro is a perfect example. Wilkesboro and 3 and 4 tore up 15 laps into the race, and it was just gravel down there. Hmm. There was nothing. I mean, you had to run through 3 and 4 and gravel. No cautions, because the drivers are more aware and more attuned to what's going on.
Hmm.
So they pay closer attention.
Okay.
So they tiptoe a little bit more. They throttle a little bit different. They drive a little bit different. So when it's just, I got to hammer it down in here lap after lap after lap, and I can't lose momentum and I can't do this and I can't do that, then we see cautions sometimes. So I think when the conditions are the most perilous, we have the fewer number of accidents because these drivers, they just focus. I don't know what it is. I mean, I've seen it happen at other places. I wish I could recall one, but I've seen it happen. We've talked about it. I've done it. When Hoosier and Goodyear had their tire wars and you knew something was going to happen, you just went to a different place and you drove just enough different that it never happened. But, you know, come Saturday night, you were sitting there talking, man, there's going to be 1,000 cautions tomorrow.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's going to be an easy race, man. And then end of the race, your tongue's hanging out because you went green the whole way. So I was not surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like one of those typical counterintuitive NASCAR mm-hmm. things where you think, like, every lap is going to be an adventure for three-plus yeah. hours. I mean, surely we're going to see, but your contention would be like, so maybe they're driving a little bit more conservatively without yeah. realizing it. Like
but
that.
You, and especially at Darlington, because you end up in a lot of ways, and we say it, and it's so cliche, race the racetrack, not the competitors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you end up just playing a game where it's like, hit my mark, get my gas. What time was that? And, you know, they give you lap times or whatever. It's just a cadence, you know, and it's just like you just get into a rhythm with it.
Where do you stand, I guess, on the, because it's become such a social media maelstrom seemingly every week when NASCAR goes to these big speedways, 550 horsepower versus 750 horsepower. Was this a check mark in the column of, hey, NASCAR needs to keep looking at low downforce, or are you still sold on, hey, this is good for this kind of track, but maybe on the mile and a half tracks, should NASCAR stay with that 550 horsepower where they don't crack the throttle and it's just all about momentum?
I'm of the opinion that I don't care where you run, okay? If you give them all the horsepower they want, give them all the horsepower they want. You can limit your downforce, okay, and give them harder tires, all right? So that it is slick. It's slick at Charlotte. It's slick at Atlanta. It's slick everywhere. You've got to control it with the accelerator. You've got to control it with the steering wheel. The problem that we have, I feel, in a lot of ways is that, and we talked about this again on when Steve LaTarte was sitting here on Motor Mouse. So you're telling me mechanical grip is going to be important. Because right now, mechanical grip is not important. It's just not important to these guys. You know what I mean? Because it's aero grip. It's how do I set my car like the wing on a plane to give me the most downforce and that my car will stick until the tires run off of it. And then I'll worry about mechanical grip when the tires run off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I feel like we got to the COT and we got to the car, whatever generation car we're in right now, because we came out of 2000 and 2001 and the priority was safety. Oh yes, let's put a car around safety. You know what I mean? Safety was the priority. Now we're at 2022, headed into 22 next year, and people have said, all right, we think we got a lot of the safety stuff. Now let's build a race car. So it's taken us 20 years to build a race car around all of NASCAR's safety innovations. We got out of sync a little bit, I feel like. Mm-hmm. If you listen to drivers and you listen to the complaints, we just got out of sync a little bit. So as I look at, if I'm going to give you mechanical grip, you shouldn't have to. Matt Kenseth said it best to me one night when we were talking about Atlanta or Charlotte when they had first come over there with some of their downforce and some of their stuff. He's like, I can't qualify for 400 laps. I can't run qualifying laps, 400 laps and race. Okay? I can either race or I'll go run a qualifying lap for you. But I can't do that for 400 laps. And when you put that package under somebody where you have to run wide open, lap after lap after lap, basically you're just qualifying. You're qualifying lap. How am I going to race? Because, and that's where the momentum goes. I can't race because as soon as I start racing, I lose my nose, I get sideways, somebody's laying on my quarter panel and side drafting me and is pulling me back. I've got to check up. Now I've lost four positions. That's not racing. I should be able to race you, and if you lean on me or get by me, boom, I fall in line behind you and we race again. We saw that at Darlington.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We saw that with that package at Darlington, but that's not going to work everywhere. I hope my hope would someday be that this car at least gets us back to same engine, same downforce. Now let's work on what sticks to the ground and monitor that. But I grew up in a time when we didn't have Atlanta tires and Michigan tires and Charlotte tires and Darlington tires. You just had these tires. And you would run them at these five racetracks. And you had these tires, and they were short track tires, so you ran them at the short track. So you just had to make that tire work.
Yeah.
Now we live in a world where, and I'll say it, I feel like that NASCAR has made a lot of rule changes through the past and called up Akron and say, hey, we just made a rule change. Save us. Come up with a better tire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Goodyear can't save you forever, and they shouldn't have to save you forever. But, I mean, that's a rant, sorry.
That's okay. And I encourage everybody to check out the next-gen car discussion on our NASCAR American Motor Mouths, which is on the YouTube channel. Lots more on that and the mechanical grip discussion, which is a big part of that, too, with the new car. Very interesting stuff. One track where we know, I know they're not going to hold it wide open all the way around for 400 laps is Dover, which is where they're headed next. Weird to me, I was just thinking about this. The schedule rhythm is a little different this year. Darlington, I think, has established this place of Mother's Day weekend or thereabouts. But now it goes Dover, Circuit of the Americas, Coke 600.
Yeah.
So kind of an interesting three-race stretch here in May. Anything you're looking for as we look toward the end of this month?
You know, I think I'm looking forward to Circuit of the Americas. I'm looking forward to Austin just to see what cup cars do on that racetrack, because that is an incredible facility. It's an incredible racing facility. So I am looking forward to that. But, you know, as I look at these races, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. You know, we could honestly go to these races and Truex win the next three. Yeah, I mean, we just could. He's a good road racer, man.
You know,
he adapts quickly. We know he can run Dover. We know what he's done at Charlotte. You know, I mean, this is one of those places or this stretch where he could absolutely distance himself from playoff points from that standpoint. But it's also a place that Chase Elliott can. Because I look at Chase and I think Dover's been a good place for him. You know what I mean? We go road course racing. Chase Elliott's name pops to the top of the list for whatever reason. I think there's two or three guys that this stretch is going to really be good for them, be good for their confidence, be good for their teams. And I think there's probably three or four guys that are going to feel like they got kicked in the groin. You know what I mean? For these next three races, because they don't match up well for these guys. And, you know, how are they going to come out? I see William Byron continuing his streak.
Yeah,
I really do. I don't see anything out there. If he stays out of trouble, if he doesn't get in an accident, I don't see that streak in it, because they have found their niche, and that's where they're at week after week. Denny, Truex, some of those guys. Kevin Harvick's struggling.
That's the name I was going to ask you about.
Kevin Harvick's struggling. And he's struggled on road courses.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen him struggle on road courses. So he's struggling. Places that I really thought that we were going to see something out of him at Darlington, and we didn't. You know, I look at Brad Kay, you know, Brad Keselowski. I think he's a guy. At the same time, I look at Brad and say, Brad's going to struggle. I look at Joey and I think, this fits right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know, these next three races fit right in Joey's wheelhouse. I think they fit in Blaney's wheelhouse. So I think there's going to be some guys that come out of it that think, man, I wish they'd have spread these out or done something, because that was three tough races for me.
Yeah, it should be an interesting three races to watch, and we'll see who emerges as the Big Lebowski of the Cup Series.
That's it, man.
May. Always appreciate your pop culture references. Thanks for being here.
Our thanks again to NASCAR and NBC analyst Kyle Petty for joining the NASCAR and NBC podcast ahead of our post-Darlington edition of NASCAR America Motor Mouths. A reminder that every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, you can catch NASCAR America Motor Mouths on the Peacock platform. Thanks as well to NBC Sports producers Aaron Feldstein and Emily Conboy and Trevor Gavin for helping with the coordination and recording of this podcast. And as you heard, this episode also is taped on camera at the NBC Sports Charlotte studios. And you can check out the video version of the NASCAR on NBC podcast on the Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel. Subscribe while you're there. There's tons of great video content posting daily on the Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel, including full replays of the NASCAR America Motor Mouth shows on Peacock. Those air every Monday and Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Peacock, and the replays live forever at the Motorsports on NBC YouTube channel. Great way to check out NASCAR America Motor Mouths. The NASCAR on NBC podcast is available wherever you download podcasts. Please leave us a rating and review to help spread the word. And as always, any feedback sent to me on Twitter, at Nate Ryan is my handle. Thanks again for listening to the NASCAR on NBC podcast.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.